Jason, Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game, as we do every Wednesday at 9:30. We say hello to our pal John McClain from Houston. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. Just we've kind of entered those days almost into June, and, you know, OTAs going on and all of that. But, you know, kind of getting that itch, ready for football. But we got a few more months for sure. But looking at, you know, different things that came out of the league meetings last week, of course, you know, it being in Nashville, Roger Goodell had to be asked about a certain event coming to America's Music City. And, of course, he said with the new stadium that he'd love to see a Super Bowl in Nashville. I think with them building the stadium, John, we know it's going to happen. It's more of a win than it is an if. But do you think the NFL would want to try and get that Super Bowl here sooner rather than later?
I don't know. I'm guessing that the way it works is you get a new stadium and you've got tax dollars involved, you get a Super Bowl. Nashville will definitely get a Super Bowl. And the key is you've got to play in the stadium at least one season, preferably two, because you got to make sure everything works. Can't do it after the first season. So I would. What year is the stadium supposed to open?
2027.
27, so you wouldn't get it in 27. I'm not sure how far they've moved ahead naming sites, but I would say the earliest would be would be either in 28 or after the 28th season. After the 27th season or after 28, and I'm guessing it would be two. And because of stadium capacity, it used to be you had to have 70,000 seats, and an auxiliary media takes out about 2,000 of them. Now that's not a prerequisite anymore because they charge so much money. And I've always wondered, what is the point where that you would have to cut off the pricing where people weren't going to buy the tickets? There's some you have like $4,500 a ticket if they want on the 50. There's others you can get for like $800. By the time you guys get a Super Bowl there, no telling what those tickets are going to be. And I often wondered, what if you charged $5,000 for every single ticket? Would every single ticket be sold? Would just corporations buy them and give them away? I remember a Super Bowl in San Francisco when we got to our hotel, the Hyatt, at the bottom of Nob Hill, media people came running up to others saying, "You guys are not going to believe this. There's a place in here, an office, where you can sell your Super Bowl tickets and you can make $100. So a bunch of guys that had bought tickets from the league or from their team sold their $75 tickets for $100 profit. That's pretty good. And I think back now to the price of those tickets and how ridiculous it was. And I can imagine how much money the NFL is bringing in for a Super Bowl. And but he'll get one. I can't imagine what they're going to charge in the hotels since the Nashville area is so small. And you may be bringing in ships on the Cumberland like they did in Jacksonville. And a lot of people stayed that week on the ships. But it'll be a great event. Nashville knows how to host a party. That's been proved many times. And I can't wait to see it happen.
NFL.com, you know, we're in bold prediction season and list season. They did their bold predictions for this year. And one that they had on there was Derrick Henry goes for 1,600 rushing yards with the Ravens. And that got my attention because I know there's a reason that they brought him in. And I felt, and a lot of people felt, that, you know, that was going to be a very, very good signing for Baltimore and for Lamar. But 1,600 yards for me at this point in Derrick's career with that offense that centers around Lamar Jackson, I think that is a pretty bold prediction.
Yeah, I would if I was taking over under and lead, I'd bet a lot of money on the under. Not that Henry couldn't do it, but they've had changes in their offensive line, even though they always have a good offensive line. They think run first. But Jackson's going to rush for 700 or 800 yards himself. And then they still got Justice Hill. And so think about this. John Harbaugh never has one back carry the load. He likes to use multiple backs. Now, he'll have one who's definitely the starter, like Derrick Henry will be, but he's not going to be a workhorse because they don't want him just for 1 year. You know, they want him for probably two. If they could get three, that'd be great. So John Harbaugh is not going to run him into the ground. So I think that's not just a bold prediction. I think it's a ridiculous prediction.
We're talking to the great John McClain this morning on the Chase and Big Joe Show. And, John, I see Nico Collins got – he got paid, you know, 3 years, almost $73 million extension, $52 million guaranteed. Two-part question here. A, your thoughts on that, and was it warranted? And second on that, I always go back because, you know, I love talking about the history of the league to those Oiler teams with the run and shoot and the great receivers of Haywood Jeffries and Ernest Givens and Drew Hill and Curtis Duncan, how if today's game, those four would have never played together because no team could afford those. So let's start with the Nico question first. Was this warranted and was this a good thing for the Texans?
Absolutely. And I'm writing a column for HoustonTexans.com right now about how, and here's a reason that the Titans should not give up on Treylon Burks, including the fans and the media. Nico Collins was a third-round pick. Nick Caserio traded back into the third round to get him. 6'4", 215 when he came in. He's 6'4", 222 now. His first couple of seasons, we saw him flash like in camp or practice every once in a while in the game. But he had these nagging injuries that kept him from being a regular starter. But he was, you know, you got to see enough of him to think, man, if he could just stay healthy. And Davis Mills and Tyrod Taylor were throwing in the ball. So last year with C.J. Stroud and Collins missed two games with injuries, he had 80 catches for almost 1,300 yards, averaged 16.2, eight touchdowns. He was number two in the league with catches of at least 25 yards. And a lot of those were he caught balls on slant routes and he broke tackles. He's really good at going full speed over the middle, catching the ball quick, and then breaking tackles. We saw him do it time and again. In the column I'm writing now, and this is true for almost every team in the league, that if you work your tail off and you produce on the field and you're good for the culture and you're a good teammate, you're going to get paid. If not by the Texans, then somebody else, like Sheldon Rankins, came in here last year on a one-year, $9 million deal, defensive tackle, played really well. They offered him a $2 million raise. Cincinnati offered him a $4 million, and he went to Cincinnati. So the idea is if you don't get paid by your team and you do all these things, you're going to get paid by somebody else, assuming you're not in your 30s. So they didn't want Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs' contracts to expire at the same time. And they redid Diggs, of course, after they got him to make it a one-year deal because they knew if he's on a one-year deal, you're going to get the best out of Diggs on and off the field. And they don't need Diggs to catch the ball all the time like the Bills did because they got Nico Collins and Tank Dell and Dalton Schultz at tight end. So I thought it's a great deal for Collins, about $24 million a year. He wasn't trying to break the bank, get $30 million a year like CeeDee Lamb and Justin Jefferson. And that message it sends to the other players who are looking to get paid as well.
How did they keep, with going back to the Oilers, the running shoot, you know, I love that football team. How did they keep those four receivers around for so long? Because I'm thinking today, man, they'd all be wanting this money, this and that, and they would leave. But they were a nice core for several years.
Yeah, they were. They didn't have any choice. There was no free agency. So you're stuck. You could hold out. And because they were all so balanced, none of them was like a Stephon Diggs was at Buffalo. And they had a couple of good guys on the bench. When Drew Hill was done, they had Webster Slaughter they brought in from Cleveland. He'd been very productive for the Browns. And so other than maybe a couple of holdouts, they didn't have a lot of issues with them. They get a lot of bonuses. there was what was called likely to be earned incentives and not likely to be earned incentives. So if you caught, say, 50 passes 1 year, they could give you a not likely to be earned incentive for 51. And if you caught 51, you got the bonus. And it was structured differently than that would fit better on the salary cap. So they made those really easy. Like if you had three touchdowns, they would give you four. So that's how they kept their run and shoot offense together. Yeah. Not to mention they had Mike Munchak and Bruce Matthews, Hall of Fame offensive linemen, and they made a lot of money at the time for their positions as well.
We're talking to John McClain from Houston. We'll have more with him coming up next here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You know, again, I'm not on social media, but you can feel heat. You know what I mean? You can feel heat. And I knew what it was, but I also knew that it was, you know, unfortunate that it happened. And again, listen, Mike will be coaching in no time. You know, he'll be back on the sideline in no time. And he's going to do well wherever he goes because that's just in his DNA and who he is. But, you know, I knew after that happened, it was no time to sit back and soak and, you know, lick your wounds. It was like, we have to deliver the next guy.
That was Titans general manager Rand Carthon on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast. Back here chasing Big Joe, talking to John McClain from Houston. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. And I don't know if you've seen the interview at all, but Rand Carthon was on with Taylor Lewan and Will Compton on their podcast in a very, very good interview. They've now had Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon 2 weeks in a row. But the more I hear Carthon kind of talk about, you know, the end of the Vrabel era, and he says nice things about Vrabel and then moving into Callahan, it does feel like this was truly an Amy Adams strunk move, which is fine. But does that put Rand Carthon more behind the eight ball, John, that, you know, people are going to think, well, he doesn't truly have the power and therefore make his job harder?
Absolutely not. Amy never makes a decision like that without input from her people. Of course, Carthon wanted his own head coach. When you're in a position to become a general manager, no matter where you are as a personnel director, your dream is to be a general manager. You have guys that you want to be your head coach, or you want to seriously consider for your head coach. It's just like quarterback. If Will Levis doesn't show that he can be a franchise quarterback, you have a GM and a new head coach. And Brian Callahan's going to want his quarterback. So Vrabel ends up, he goes to Cleveland. I assume he'll be a head coach next year. I'm stunned. Everybody just assumes that he couldn't get a head coaching job in the offseason, but we don't know if there was somebody that made him an offer that he turned down. So they've turned it around. They got everything they wanted. Rand's got everything the way he wanted. He had a lot of salary cap money. He used it well, especially putting good talent around Levis. You know, Levis, if you think about quarterbacks in the NFL who have changed to try to help them, well, I can't imagine there's any that have gotten more help than Will Levis. I can't wait to see him play. Rand's in charge of everything now. He's in charge of the coaches. He is all powerful. There's pressure on him because he hired his guy. He may like Brian Callahan. She's talking about money. She can make him hire coaches or fire coaches. That's not what she's about.
We're talking to John McClain from Houston this morning. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work.
All right, John, let's look to the future a little bit. Who's the next guy that's going to break the bank? Is it Prescott next year? I mean, it's the one guy. And look a couple years down the road, the one person that is going to break that bank as we go forward.
Well, first of all, they're making noise about Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence has not done enough. He's not become the generational quarterback that the Jaguars have predicted, and he's thrown too many interceptions. They've won one playoff game, but they're going to extend him because the longer you wait, the more it costs. Cowboys done a terrible job with Dak Prescott's contract, going back to his first one when everybody told him, "Don't wait, don't wait." And the sooner you get it done, the cheaper it is. And I think Prescott is going to re-sign with the Cowboys. I think they'll get it done before the season. I don't think they're going to work on it during the season. It's going to be a serious distraction, like CeeDee Lamb, serious distraction. Micah Parsons, serious distraction. And the Cowboys have distractions just by being the Cowboys, who they are. It's always seemed to be in some kind of controversy. It just blows me away. Every time I talk to somebody in the media, in the Metroplex up there, they're still using the all-in. You know, Jerry said, we're all-in. They didn't do anything. Everybody says the Texans are all-in. They've done so much in free agency and in trades. And I saw something this week. The team most likely to not do what the owner says are the Cowboys, because the owner said they're all in and then they didn't do anything. Well, no, that's not. If Jerry told them to do it, they would do it. But I think Dak Prescott is going to get the biggest contract. And then, you know, it's all about the guaranteed money, but he can leave. He can go anywhere he wants. There's no compensation for him. They put themselves in that position, and they're going to have to acquiesce. And so I don't see them starting over with another quarterback with Jerry Jones being in his early 80s.
Absolutely. John, let me ask you this, and you've covered the league such a long time. I'm not happy a lot of things the NFL does, but the fact they've embraced this mental health, like if you need to step away from the game, it's okay, we'll help you, we'll get you all the help you need. It's funny because I got to think, John, 25, 30 years ago, that would have not been the case. Guys would not have come forward, would they?
Well, that wouldn't be the case 5 years ago.
Right.
So the NFL took a different stance on it. You might get off a game or two if you had issues, but most of the time they told you to deal with it and sent you somebody to talk to. So, yeah, there's so many things that are different today, and you see different players stepping away. Stetson Bennett, you know, Calvin Ridley, and there's others that do it, and I think it's great that the NFL's helping bring awareness to it.
He is John McClain from Houston, HoustonTexans.com. John, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk next week.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thank you very much, as always.
Absolutely. John joins us every Wednesday at 9:30. Coming up next, we got some special guests in studio, JoJo, and I'm really looking forward to this. The PBR, they have another great event coming to our city. We'll tell you more about that. Coming up next with a couple of writers that are going to join us in studio. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.